We came along from one bridge to another, talking of things my comedy is not concerned to sing. We held fast to the summit, then stayed our steps to spy the other cleft of Malabolge and other vain laments. I saw that it was wonderfully dark, as in the arsenal of the Venetians, all winter long a stew of sticky pitch boils up to patch their sick and tattered ships that cannot sail. Instead of voyaging, some build new keels, some tow and tar the ribs and hulls worn out by too much journeying. Some hammer at the prow, some at the stern, and some make oars, and some braid ropes and cords. One mends the jib, another the mainsail. So not by fire, but by the art of God, below there boiled a thick and tarry mass that covered all the banks with clamminess. I saw it, but I could not see within it. No thing was visible but boiling bubbles, the swelling of the pitch, and then it settled. And while I watched below attentively, my guide called out to me, "Take care, take care." And then from where I stood, he drew me near. I turned around as one who is impatient to see what he should shun, but is dashed down beneath the terror he has undergone, who does not stop his flight, and yet would look. And then in back of us, I saw a black demon as he came racing up the crags. He was surely barbarous to see, and how relentless seemed to me his axe. His wings were open and his feet were alive. Across his shoulder, which was sharp and high, he had slung a sinner upward from the thighs. In front, the demon gripped him by the ankles. Then from our bridge, he called, "O Malabranche, I've got an elder of St. Zita for you. Shove this one under, I'll go back for more. His city is well furnished with such stores. There everyone's a grafter, but Bonturo, and there, for cash, they'll change a no to yes." He threw the sinner down, then wheeled along the stony cliff. No mastiff's ever been unleashed with so much haste to chase a thief. The sinner plunged, then surfaced, black with pitch. But now the demons from beneath the bridge shouted, "The sacred face has no place here. Here we swim differently than in the cerchio. If you don't want to feel our grappling hooks, don't try to lift yourself above that ditch." They pricked him with 100 prongs and more, then taunted, "Here one dances under cover, so try to grab your secret graft below." The demons did the same as any cook who has his urchins force the meat with hooks deep down into the pot, let it not float. Then my good master said to me, "Don't let those demons see that you are here. Take care to crouch behind the cover of a crag. No matter what offense they offer you, don't be afraid. I know how these things go. I've had to face such fracases before." When this was said, he moved beyond the bridgehead, and on the sixth embankment, he had need to show his imperturbability. With the same frenzy, with the brouhaha of dogs, when they beset a poor wretch who then stops dead in his tracks as if to beg. So from beneath the bridge, the demons rushed against my guide with all their prongs, but he called out, "Can't you forget your savagery? Before you try to maul me, just let one of all your troops step forward. Hear me out, and then decide if I am to be hooked." At this they howled, "Let Malakota go." And one of them moved up, the others stayed. And as he came, he asked, "How can he win?" "Oh, Malakota, do you think I've come?" my aunt, master answered him, "already armed, as you can see, against your obstacles, without the will of God and helpful fate. Let us move on. It is the will of heaven for me to show this wild way to another." At this, the pride of Malakota fell. His prong dropped to his feet. He told his fellows, "Since that's the way things stand, let us not wound him." My guide then spoke to me, "O you who crouch, bent low among the bridge's splintered rocks, you can feel safe, and now return to me." At this, I moved and quickly came to him. The devils had edged forward, all of them. I feared that they might fail to keep their word. Just so, I saw the infantry when they marched out under safe conduct from Caprona. They trembled when they passed their enemies. My body huddled closer to my guide. I did not let the demons out of sight. The looks they cast at us were less than kind. They bent their hooks and shouted to each other, "And shall I give it to him on the rump?" And all of them replied, "Yes, let him have it." But Malakota, still in conversation with my good guide, turned quickly to his squadron and said, "Be still, Scarmiglione, still." To us, he said, "There is no use in going much farther on this bridge, because the sixth bridge, at the bottom there, is smashed to bits. Yet if you two still want to go ahead, move up and walk along this rocky edge nearby. Another ridge will form a path. 5 hours from this hour yesterday, 1,266 years passed since that roadway was shattered here. I'm sending 10 of mine out there to see if any sinner lifts his head for air. Go with my men. There is no malice in them. Step forward, Alecchino and Calcobrino." He then began to say, "And you, Cagnazzo, and Barbariccio, who can lead the 10, let Libicoccio go, and Dragazzano, and Tuschi Ciriato, and Graficane, and Farfarello, and Mad Rubicante. Search all around the clammy stew of pitch. Keep these two safe and sound till the next ridge that rises without a break across the dens." "What is this, master, that I see?" I said. "Can't we do without company? If you know how to go, I want no escort. If you are just as keen as usual, can't you see how those demons grind their teeth? Their brows are menacing. They promise trouble." And he to me, "I do not want you frightened. Let them gnash away as they may wish. They do it for the wretches, boiled in pitch." They turned around along the left-hand bank, but first each pressed his tongue between his teeth as a signal for their leader, Barbariccio, and he had made a trumpet of his ass.
Verso lo duca per cenno, ed egli avea del cuor fatto trombetta.